Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. I'm so excited because I have a special guest on today, Emily Parsons from Let's Get Social Agency. Emily, welcome to the Bold Business Podcast.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
I'm so excited as well. You guys, Emily is a wealth of knowledge. She not only is a Pinterest guru, but she runs her own agency, so I know we have a lot in common. And Emily, for anybody who doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and your journey to getting there.
Absolutely. So like you mentioned, I am the founder of Let's Get Social Agency. So we are a Pinterest marketing agency. We only focus on Pinterest when it comes to organic and paid ads. And our ultimate goal is to help online businesses become profitable through Pinterest. I would say my journey getting there was messy, just like everyone else's journey in this space. But it's been exciting. I started the agency at the end of 2016, early 2017. So it's been a pretty wild ride over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you guys are coming up on your 5th year anniversary, which is such a milestone. So I would just like pop a bottle of champagne and like throw some confetti in the air. So tell me a little bit about like your decision to start a Pinterest marketing agency. Was it always a Pinterest marketing agency? Did you always know you wanted to do this? Like, what did that process look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will say when I entered the freelance space, I was a team of one, really just trying to, if we're being honest, I was really trying to get out of my 9-to-5 and create more opportunity for myself. And at that time, there really wasn't a lot in terms of freelance like information out there. So I started building different social channels for myself, and I started to have some local businesses ask if I could do that for them. So we started off as a full service agency, and I learned really quickly that I didn't fully enjoy all of these other platforms, and that Pinterest was the platform I kept coming back to. It was the one that I loved. It was the one that our clients were seeing the best results on. And so we did not start off as just a Pinterest agency. We really were trying to be everything to everyone, and burned ourselves out really fast. So we decided at that point, like, we can't keep going down this road. I think a lot of people don't always talk about this side of it, but, you know, my business partner and I had about 6 or 7 freelancers who were helping us to complete all of this work for clients. And we were just hemorrhaging money month over month to pay the contractors. We had some clients who weren't paying us. Like, it was kind of a hot mess. And so we looked at each other and we're like, who are our best clients and what is the platform that they're on that we love? And it was Pinterest.
I love that so much. I think it takes a lot of courage sometimes to niche down. And I know I felt that way too, because a lot of times we think when we're niching down, we're having to say no to certain people, whether that means dropping existing clients or saying no to certain inquiries. But I found as soon as I made that decision, and maybe you feel this way too, that it like opened up the floodgates. It was like, okay, this is exactly what we do. This is who we help. This is what we love doing. And we're really good at it too. And I'm sure you are as well. It's like, as soon as you decided to niche down into, okay, we are a Pinterest marketing agency for product-based businesses, all of a sudden, like, the product-based businesses came out of the works and they're like, oh, I actually need help with this. Like, thank you so much for making it clear as to what you do.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was terrifying. At that point, we had been building up a book of business, if you want to call it that, for about 2 years at that point. And we had some awesome clients, but we just knew that the path we were going on, there was red flags, sirens, all of that was ahead. And it's really scary. It's scary to say, I'm just going to pick one platform and I'm going to pick one type of client I'm going to serve. But I can tell you, as someone who was terrified to do that for so long, once we finally did it, our entire business shifted. We actually became profitable, which is wild. We started to be able to actually have a full-time team that we employed. So we weren't working with all these different contractors anymore. We actually had a dedicated team. And it's just been really exciting to see that, yes, you are saying no to certain people and to certain business, but the amount of people who need you and the amount of people who it actually shocks them, oh, you just focus on one thing. You're an expert. That's amazing. Those are the types of people who just start banging on your door, essentially.
Yeah. And I think, too, it really allows you to refine your skill set because you are just focusing on one thing. So you're not trying to learn 10 different social media platforms out there. And like you said, being all the things for all the people. Okay. I want to dive into, I know you mentioned you went from having this large team of contractors, and then you moved over to a smaller team of employees. Do you mind diving into what that looked like and how you made that transition and how it's going and who's on your team now?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, I would say in 2018 is when we first started to bring on some contractors. So that was when my business partner and I were okay, we're maxing ourselves out. Let's bring on some help. And we worked with amazing contractors, but at the end of the day, we were paying them an hourly or a monthly fixed rate, and they weren't a part of our team. As much as we loved working with them and they were talented and all of that, it did kind of feel like we were missing something. We both knew that we wanted this agency to continue to grow. And in order to do so, we really needed dedicated people. So it was strange in the sense of this was the first time that either of us were going out there and looking to hire true employees. And I will say it's been one of the greatest things. We now have a full-time team. We have three amazing people on our team who are true experts. I think the latest one has been with us for a little bit over a year now, and everyone else, it's actually been exciting. One of our employees who's been with us the longest, she actually started off as one of our contractors, and we reached out to her and we're like, this is the direction we're going. We love working with you. Would you be interested in becoming a full part of the team? She was like, yes, absolutely. So she's been with us for about 4 years now, which is wild to think about. Yeah. And everyone else has been one is 2 years and the other one's coming up on a year. So we've been really, really lucky. And honestly, our team is what makes everything tick and everything, go off without a hitch. But I will say, ultimately, it was finding the right person, not necessarily the person who had the right skills. I think skills can be learned. It was finding people who were going to fit with the team and also who were fired up about what we were doing and knew that this was going to be an agency that we were hoping to grow and scale. And they were down for the ride.
I love that so much. I can relate to that on so many levels. We started out in a very similar structure, actually. When we were building out my agency, we have a team of contractors, and we're actually in the process of moving our team of contractors all over to full-time employees, which is amazing. And it's crazy to be able to see them transition into these beautiful new leadership roles and then adding people underneath them. And like you said, I feel like you're right. It's not always about the skill set. A lot of times it's more about that fire inside of them to want to be part of the mission and the business as a whole. And I think if you can find those people, then they're going to be willing to learn whatever skills they need to learn, which is so cool.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every person on our team, minus myself and my business partner, they had zero Pinterest experience. They were just really hard workers who loved what the company, the agency was about. And we knew that we could teach them. Pinterest is a learned skill. And we knew, we want to invest in these people and they want to invest back. So I think that's honestly one of the smartest things you can do is find that right person. And then they're going to be able to learn those skills from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that so much. Okay, so you niched down to Pinterest marketing. You built out this entire agency. So obviously, you have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to Pinterest marketing. And I think Pinterest can be like kind of intimidating for some people because they hop on there and they see like a lot of things happening and they're like, should I be like doing static pins, idea pins? Do I like run ads? Like somebody told me I need to optimize my profile. Like what does that mean? Do you have any advice for like literally just getting started with Pinterest and like how to know if you're even in a place where like Pinterest would work for you as a business owner?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question. And I feel like that's something we almost need to look at regardless of the platform is our ideal customer, our ideal reader, our client, are they on the platform? And do I have the time to invest in it? So with Pinterest, Pinterest is an SEO-driven platform, which means that it, you know, it operates off of these search terms, and it is such a powerful platform that's just continuing to grow and grow. I would say if you are a product-based business that sells online, Pinterest is where you need to be because of all of the updates and changes that they're making. Like they are positioning themselves to be the go-to shopping platform. So this is the time to get on if that's who you are. This is also an amazing time to get on the platform if you're a creator. They rolled out an extremely profitable creator fund. There's so many businesses looking to work with creators. So like those would be the two that I would say, if you fit both of those buckets, like Pinterest is for you. If you're somebody who is a service provider or maybe you don't fit either of those, I would do a deep dive. I would just jump into Pinterest, see what people are looking for. And see if you can really fill that search, if you can help that customer who's already on the platform. And when it comes to, you know, optimizing your account and all of that good stuff, I would say your first step is A, find out who your person is, if they're on Pinterest. And then it really is diving into, you know, search terms and keywords, which I could talk about for hours. But yes, the amazing thing is that Pinterest gives you a lot of this data on the platform itself. So when people say, your account needs to be optimized, it simply means we need to add those keywords into our name, our bio, and our boards, as well as our content. And, you know, when it comes to static versus idea pins, some of the most successful accounts that we're seeing on our end are leveraging both. And I think that's really important. Just like you're leveraging, you know, a regular photo in Instagram, as well as Reels, the same would be true with Pinterest.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's interesting because we do Pinterest for a lot of our clients in the blogger and influencer space, which has some overlapping things for a product-based business, but it can be a little bit different because obviously you're tying in like Shopify and Etsy and like these other platforms, whereas most bloggers and influencers are just very heavy in like the content creation realm. And we've noticed the same thing. Like if you're utilizing all the features of the platforms, you're going to see the best results, especially when it comes to like, you know, idea pins versus static pins. I feel like it's not necessarily like one or the other. It's definitely figuring out how to use both the same way you would like a static post on Instagram versus like Instagram stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's one of the things is, you know, we hear, okay, Pinterest is pushing idea pins, but that doesn't mean that you're not seeing success with static pins as well. So it definitely is asking like, who's your customer? What are they searching for? And then starting to think about like, what do you want that person to do when they come across the content? You know, they both serve different purposes and they're both powerful. But I think that kind of comes back to like, what is your reason for being on Pinterest as a business owner?
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, let's work it backwards. We'll break it down for like we'll say like the 101 business owner. So they would figure out exactly who they're serving. And then once they have identified, okay, my person is on Pinterest, I know who I'm serving, and I know that I can help meet their need by the content that I'm providing. What do you recommend in terms of like a simple strategy for them to get started? I know some people, like I feel like people throw out crazy numbers, like you should be pinning 30 pins a day. And to somebody who's just getting started, they're like, oh my gosh, like how am I supposed to create 30 pieces of content a day? So what would be your advice for just creating like a baseline strategy to get started on the platform?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that question so much. So if we kind of like go backwards to the end of 2020, Pinterest came out. There was this huge influx of new accounts on their platform. And so they came out and they pretty much said, hey, what you've been doing up to this point isn't going to work moving forward. And a part of that really does come down to how much content you're publishing each day. I don't know if you remember, but you know, back in the day, it used to be we're going to create our own fresh content, but then we're also going to try and do as many repins as possible. And I feel like
Yes.
that's where all of those major, like high numbers were coming from. And so Pinterest came out and they're like, no, we're not doing this anymore. So what I would say is I would look at how much content do you as a business have to work with, because Pinterest wants to see consistency. So if in an ideal world starting out, I would say try to do 1 to 2 static pins a day. Now, we schedule out everything inside of the Pinterest platform for our clients. So I would do that. I would schedule it out inside of Pinterest, see if you can get 2 weeks, maybe the entire month scheduled out. And then I would start to add on idea pins on top of that. I think when you're first starting off, one of the worst things you could do is try to do like 5 or 10 or 15 a day and just completely burn yourself out. Start small and continue to build. Pinterest is a long game as a platform, so you want to have that endurance to keep publishing. So I would say start with 1 to 2. Once you have your routine in place for when you're publishing content and creating it, then I would start to add on. It's also, you know, those first couple of months is really going to show you like the content that your ideal customer is engaging with. And then that's going to help you to be able to create content faster that aligns with that. So I would start 1 to 2 static pins a day, get those scheduled out. And then if you can do anywhere from like 2 to 6 idea pins a week, that's great. If that's too much, then utilize the content that you already have, to just like fit that consistent amount of idea pins each week.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, based on the advice you gave, you don't even need like an external platform like Tailwind or another scheduling tool that costs money, because you can literally just schedule them right there inside of the platforms. And that's completely free, which is awesome, especially when you're first getting started and you might have like a limited budget.
Absolutely. You know, so we used to utilize Tailwind for our clients, and then in like 20, I think early 2021, we just saw that they were having a little bit of trouble communicating. And so we actually have brought all of our clients out of Tailwind when it comes to scheduling. We do love utilizing it for analytics, but I think that's the exciting thing if you're wanting to get started on Pinterest is they have that scheduling feature in their platform. So you, like you said, you're not having to pay for another system.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, okay, let's say that this person, they're gotten their 2 to 5 pins down per pack. They started doing some idea pins, but they're stressing a little bit because maybe they don't have like a blog where they're posting content consistently. What are some like workarounds that you can do if maybe you're not like a blogger or influencer and you are an online business owner, even a product-based business or a service-based business? Like, where can they be driving that traffic back to so that they can see optimal success?
Yeah, I think that brings up such a great point. So when Pinterest came out and they said that they wanted to see fresh pins, I think a lot of people started to think, wow, I have to create all of this content on my site. Well, Pinterest really just wants to see fresh and new pins, and you can send them all back to the same URL. So for a lot of our product-based businesses that we manage, what we look at is what's your top performing in sense of like conversions and revenue. Well, those are typically always going to be in your content schedule. We're just going to create new pins that have the new keywords. We're going to hopefully pull in a new photo if we can for the graphic. If not, that's okay. We're going to just, you know, play around with the graphics, make it feel fresh. But I would say like look at what's performing well on your Pinterest account, but also what's converting on your end. I think so often we kind of view Pinterest as itself, but we really need to look at what that customer journey and experience is. So for instance, you know, I would say for a product-based business, I would kind of have your evergreen products that are always selling year-round. I would always be creating content for those. And then obviously as you have new ones come in, you can put those into the mix. And also looking at what season are we coming into and what's trending. You know, right now we are starting to think about, fall and holiday, which is wild because, you know, you think about it so soon on Pinterest. But I would say, you know, if you are a blogger, what content of yours from last year performed really well? Can you reuse that blog post? Like, is there anything that was specific to last year? If not, let's create content for that again. So it really is, you know, what season are we at when we're on the platform? What's already performing well? Well, let's double down and create more content for that. And we see that true, like, whether you're a product based, whether you have an online course, or you are that service provider, it really is coming down to like, what's trending on the platform? What season are we in? And how can we take those trends and those keywords and almost do like a fresh spin on the content or the products that we already put out there?
Yeah, I love that so much. I really love that you hit on the fact of looking at content that you hit publish on this time last year and see what's trending and how you can refresh that. I think that's one thing that a lot of people forget to do is like, if you have built up this content bank, you can reuse that. And so even if it's a post last year that was like 10 fall outfits for, I don't know, going to a pumpkin patch or something like that. And so maybe those same exact items are sold out now. You can refresh the links, refresh the lingo so that it's not all about last year, and then recirculate it to the top of your blog. But the great thing is if you already have that content on Pinterest, you're going to be driving traffic back to it now because it'll start trending. And then it'll be like a whole new fresh piece of content because you just updated it, but you still have Pinterest driving traffic too. So I think it's so cool because it's like this power driver in the background too.
Oh, 100%. And you bring up so many amazing points, but I think we've all become really conditioned to how Instagram and TikTok work, where it feels like I have to pump out so much new content and I can't repurpose something that's already been out there. And Pinterest is just kind of, you know, your buddy in the background who's like, hey, you can do that over here. You don't have to make this harder on yourself. You can really utilize what's already worked well and just do a little, you know, freshen up for this year.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so if somebody is creating multiple pins going back to like one product or one link or one freebie, have you found that there's like a cap to how many times you can drive back to one link before it's like, okay, this is not worth it. It's not working anymore.
You know, we really haven't at this point because we're always playing around with different search terms and keywords. I will say that if there was something that was really, really specific to last year that you created a freebie around, I would overall kind of do a refresh of that freebie if it just doesn't seem to be performing anymore. But I'm thinking about one of our clients who is in the health and wellness space, and she has this freebie that we have just continued to drive traffic to month over month because it is a family meal guide. And so for that, that's something that people are always looking for. We're just going to utilize what's trending now and kind of revamp it.
I love that. So kind of taking like whatever's trending based on the season and working it into how that's applicable. Okay, so talking about repurposing content and sort of giving old content new life on Pinterest, do you feel like it's helpful to be able to take things like Instagram Reels or TikToks or YouTube Shorts and push them over to Pinterest? And do we need to reframe them in any way? Or is it good to literally like remove the watermark and put it on Pinterest?
Yeah, I love this question. I am a huge fan of let's work smarter, not harder. But I will say that when it comes to idea pins on Pinterest, if you had a video go viral on Instagram Reels or TikTok, and it really truly was because of like the trending audio, so you weren't really walking somebody through how they could get from like A to Z, it wasn't a how-to, information-based, anything like that, it probably isn't going to work that well on Pinterest. See, Pinterest, that user, they're looking for their problem to be solved. They're not necessarily looking for that entertainment. So I would say if you're creating content on Instagram Reels, TikTok, YouTube Shorts that are walking people through a problem that they're trying to solve, and this could be something as simple as three outfits to wear this fall, or, you know, an easy recipe. It doesn't have to be this like, this is how you're going to make $100,000 in 10 minutes type of video. Like, it doesn't have to be business based, but if you can walk somebody through the issue that they're having, provide them with a solution, that's going to be amazing content for Idea Pin. So you definitely can repurpose content. I would just ask, is this what that user is looking for?
Yeah, I love that question. I know when I'm using Pinterest as like a consumer, I think my favorite are the recipe videos because I'm like, you know, old school recipes, you have to like read the recipe and like pray that you're doing something right. And now it's like shows you a video and you're like, okay, I got this. Like that looks really easy.
And you know, that's the content that performs so well on Pinterest. It's wild. It's like over and over again outperforms everything else we see. It's recipes and home decor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, who doesn't go to Pinterest for like some good inspiration content? I know I am definitely guilty of that.
Absolutely. Same here.
Okay, so this has been so fun chatting. I know we've talked a lot about Pinterest and how to get started and tips and tricks. One of the things that you mentioned that I kind of want to dive into it for a second is back in 2020 when Pinterest sort of shifted gears and was like, okay, what has been working is not going to work anymore. And with that, they released this whole new content creator feature. And so have you had experience using this? What are your thoughts on it? And do you have any tips and tricks for somebody that's like, okay, I feel like I could make this work for me and the type of business that I have, but I don't really know like how to use this whole new feature of Pinterest?
Yeah, so this would be in line with the like the creator hub, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's been really exciting to see all of that roll out. I would say, you know, approaching Pinterest and doing what we would consider, you know, being a quote unquote influencer or creator, it honestly feels kind of easier on Pinterest because the way that they've like created or they've set up their creator hub when it comes to idea pins is you're getting paid to simply publish the content you already published. But I would kind of stop and ask yourself, you know, why am I jumping on Pinterest? Can I serve this audience in a unique and different way? I mean, what we've seen on our side is I wouldn't say that we work heavily with creators, but we work with other teams and like our clients who are looking for creators, and they simply cannot find enough creators and influencers to do collaborations with on Pinterest. So there is a major, major need for creators who understand Pinterest, who know how to create content that's going to continue to drive traffic and sales for these brands for like months and years. So if you're passionate about Pinterest as a platform, if you're intrigued by it, I would say this is a wonderful time to jump on because you have the creator fund that's paying you for the content you're already putting up there. And there are so many brands who are really looking to work with people like you.
That's amazing and so encouraging too, because I know I feel like there's a lot of feelings right now going on about Instagram and the changes that they're making over there. And I think a lot of content creators feel kind of discouraged, like, you know, they're working so hard to put out this great content, but it's not always being shown, or, you know, the right people are not seeing their content, or the people that they want to see their content are not. And so I think this is so cool to know that there's a ton of opportunity on Pinterest, not only to get your content out there, but also to work and collaborate with other people who have very similar goals in mind. So I think that's super cool.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if we kind of just look at everything that Pinterest has done this year, they acquired a video editing app. So we can only predict that they're going to make it so easy inside of their app to edit videos. They rolled out this extremely profitable creator fund. They made it so Idea Pin ads could only be run by a business if it was in collaboration with a creator. They are really, I would say, like putting their foot down almost and saying this is going to be a platform that supports creators, that makes it easy for them to make money. And we're also going to make this a really fun shopping experience as well. So I would say that if you are looking for a platform that is going to help you grow faster, grow as a creator, like, yes, there's going to be some heavy lifting at the beginning, just like any other platform. And they're probably going to make some changes, just like any other platform. But they really are keeping that creator in mind, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for people to listen to this episode because I feel like there's so many good tidbits. And if they take away like one thing from this episode, I feel like it's that there's so much potential and opportunity over on Pinterest. So if you haven't gotten started, or maybe you have and you have like a dead account that needs like a little life, breathed into it, I know one of the really easy ways to sort of revive an account is to start with a little bit of keyword research. So I know SEO can be intimidating and a little dense at times, but it also doesn't have to be. And so I think, you know, once you get into the habit of doing this every so often, especially if you know exactly who you're serving, it doesn't have to be a big lift. Do you have any like quick tips and tricks for getting started with SEO? Maybe like a favorite tool that you use, or how somebody could do this in like less than 30 minutes a week?
Absolutely. So honestly, if you're looking to see exactly what your ideal person is searching for and you want to do it really quickly, I would jump into Pinterest itself and I would go up into the search bar. And let's say that you created a idea pin and it's all around like fall recipes or, you know, 10-minute fall recipes. I would start to type into the search bar fall dinner or fall recipes and see what's populating underneath that search. Those are the exact keywords and searches that pinners are looking for. I would then take those and I would use that for your content. So that would definitely probably be the fastest way you could do it. You're also not having to pay for another, you know, software or platform. And I think that's also just so exciting that Pinterest gives you that info. If you want to go a little bit more like in depth, I would jump into the trends portion of Pinterest. It's up inside of your analytics, and that's going to give you more information around, you know, what was trending at this time last year, what can you expect, and more of like the search volume. But I would say start with that search bar and see what people are looking for.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And it's awesome too, because as you scroll, I'll notice that even more search trends will pop up based on like, you know, what's being shown in your feed. So let's say you search like fall home decor, it might, you know, pop up rustic fall home decor, and then fall home decor for living rooms and more specific things that if you're like, oh, you know what, like I have a tutorial of me decorating my front porch for fall, and look, this is a keyword, then you can like grab that and put that directly into your content, which I think is so awesome. And it goes back to what you said, which is where Pinterest is really trying to support its creators by giving you the tools in order to be successful. Like, it's not a secret. Those keywords aren't hidden. They're right there inside of the platform for you to go ahead and grab and use.
Absolutely. And I think it's amazing too. I mean, it's wild to think about, but we are about to come up on a new year, which means Pinterest is also going to be rolling out their Pinterest Predicts. And this is an entire document that you can find on their website. And they tell you what they are predicting for the upcoming year when it comes to trends. And I'm pretty sure in 2021, they were like 90% correct. I don't remember the exact stat, but I know it was in the 90s. So that's just another resource that they're providing because they want people to be successful.
Yeah, I looked at that in January of this year, which feels like it was like yesterday, but obviously we're like 9 months into this year already. And it was so fun to look at to see like, oh, what's going to be trending? Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about this during this month and that sort of thing. And I think that's really great too, when you're trying to plan out your content in like a longer form sense of getting an idea of like, okay, you know, this quarter I'm talking about this, and then next quarter I'm talking about this. And it helps you create like a really clear content plan as well.
Absolutely. And it's so awesome that they do that. You know, also, if you want to dive into that document, there's an entire like portion of the Pinterest newsroom that's dedicated to creators, another one that's dedicated to business owners. So they really are trying to give you those tools, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. So this is just totally your opinion, but where do you see Pinterest going over the next few years? Like, if you had your glass ball and were going to predict, what do you think the platform's going to evolve into?
Oh, I love this question because this is something we talk about internally all the time. I would say that Pinterest has made it really, really clear to us with the people that they have been hiring that Pinterest is going to really become an inspiring shopping experience. So they've done some interesting things. They've hired some interesting people, you know, from like YouTube and different major like e-commerce brands, and they are making it clear to us that it is going to be a shopping platform. I don't really think that there's any way we could say that it's not. They also did something interesting is you can no longer connect your Etsy as a claimed account in the back end, which to me kind of set up this alert of they are going, like they're viewing Etsy as a competitor to their platform now. So I really think that they are going to be pushing heavily into the shopping, the product, that experience. We've seen them rolling out so many shopping features and tabs. And I also think that they're going to continue to have it be a place that supports creators. So I think it's going to become a fun, interactive, filled with different, you know, virtual reality try-ons type of platform in the future.
Wow, that's so interesting about Etsy. I did not know that. And I think you're spot on because I'm like, ooh, they do see it as a competitor. But it's interesting because you can still link Shopify in the background, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely. You can do Shopify, you can do WooCommerce, you can do, like, you can upload your catalog of your products from anywhere that's like a site that you own. And this is just something that they did recently with Etsy. And I know a lot of people were like, what is going on? Because Pinterest drives so much traffic to my Etsy account. And I mean, you can definitely still drive traffic there. They're just not allowing you to connect it, which I find so very interesting.
It is very interesting. And I feel like, you know, with you saying that it's going to become like this shopping virtual like experience hub, I totally agree because they even rolled out like the ability to product tag within posts if you're inside of the app. And I think that's huge because as a consumer, a lot of times I'm like, oh, this inspirational picture is gorgeous. And then like you click on it and, you know, if it might be like an old pin, it may have a broken link or something like that. And sometimes it's hard to find like that exact item. And with the new updates, now I can literally click on like, you know, the white little dot that's on the picture and it takes me directly to that product. And sometimes it even shows me other similar products, which I think is super cool too.
Absolutely. So this year they actually did something around like Pinterest Lives. So these creators were able to go live inside of Pinterest. And while they were live, it was all like shopping. It literally felt like QVC if it was interactive. So people were able to share different products and all of those were just, they were all tagged on the screen. So I think they're playing around with a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we're obviously not aware of, but you're just bringing up so many points of, I feel like this is going to become a platform where it's like making online shopping fun again.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
It's so exciting. I think I did see that and I was like, what is happening? And this is really cool because it kind of reminded me like Amazon's doing a little bit of that where like influencers will go live on Amazon and it's literally like an old school QVC where they're like talking about the products and then you can like buy them on screen. And I just think it's so cool because most of the time, like we do take recommendations from people that we trust versus just like being served a generic ad. So it's such a genius way to have a higher conversion rate within Pinterest.
Oh, absolutely. And you just brought up another platform that Pinterest does not allow you to do a shoppable tag of inside of your idea pins, and that's Amazon. And I truly think from like an affiliate standpoint, it's because of what you just said. Like they also view them as a potential competitor down the road. So it's been a wild year, or I guess a couple wild years.
Yeah, but it's cool that they're very forward thinking. So in the spirit of forward thinking, do you have any big plans for Let's Get Social? Anything new and exciting on the horizon?
Goodness gracious. You know, there's always something new and exciting over here. I feel like that's, you know, the startup world. But I will say something that we have currently rolled out that is so exciting and close to my heart is we rolled out the Pinterest VA School, which is where we teach people how to become Pinterest managers and start their own business. And we've just seen so many online businesses that need that support. And so it's been really exciting to develop our own type of like certification school program. So that's been really exciting. That's definitely one of the biggest things that's taking place. And I, you know, we're a fully remote team. And so we are planning to all meet up at the end of this year or early next year. And so that's always exciting. It's amazing that we can work from anywhere, but it's also there's no better feeling than when we're all under the same roof. So I would say some of those are some of the things we have going on over here.
Well, I love that. I will definitely put a link to your course in the show notes, because we have so many of our VAs that do decide to niche down into Pinterest. And that is one of the most asked questions that we get, is like, okay, I want to become an expert in this. I want to refine my skills. Like, how can I learn more about this? And so I would love to be able to refer them to over to you, because you are obviously a wealth of knowledge, and I'll know they'll be in good hands.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I would very much love that.
Yeah. Okay. So before we go, I thought it'd be really fun if we did a few rapid fire questions, if you're down for that.
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's do
it. Okay. So what are you currently reading?
Oh, goodness. I am currently reading The Power of One More by Ed Milet.
Do you like, okay, side note, do you like that? Because I've heard it's really good.
It is so, so, so good. I cannot recommend it enough.
Okay. I think it's in my Amazon shopping cart, so I may have to like be like, and buy now. Okay. What are you currently watching?
I'm currently watching Trying. It's a Apple TV exclusive.
Ooh, I love some Apple TV. There's all kinds of drama over there. What are you currently craving?
I am currently craving a chicken Caesar salad.
Ooh, it is lunchtime. Okay, what is your favorite account to follow right now? Just like, it could be something funny or inspirational.
My favorite account to follow right now. Goodness, that's a hard one. I feel like there's so many great accounts. So on TikTok, I would say it is Barstool, which I know is so random, but their TikToks are hilarious. And then on Instagram, I have really loved following the CEO School.
Oh, I love both of those. Okay. What was the last thing that you purchased?
The last thing I purchased was, wow, you are really making me think on this one. That was my dry cleaning is technically the last thing I purchased.
Okay, perfect. And then last question, what's something that most people probably wouldn't know about you or would be like surprised to find out?
So most people probably have no idea that I rode horses competitively growing up, and I actually had a scholarship in college to ride horses. So
that is a fun fact. Oh my gosh, I love that. We actually live right next to a horse farm. So
I miss it. It's been years, but that is definitely, it's a good, you know, fun random fact.
I love that. Oh, well, Emily, this was such a treat. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing all of your expertise. Where can everybody find you?
Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing and so much fun. And everyone can find myself on Instagram at EmilyVDW. And then all of our accounts are actually linked inside of my bio. And then you can find me over on TikTok. It is the Emily Parsons.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at the Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, will you do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review? Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.